Welcome back. It's a Wednesday, the second day of January 2019. I'm your host, Mark Hall, and yes, this is the first new show for a new year, but it's a whole lot of continued old news, literally, especially things like the long-delayed but completely inevitable dollar and market meltdown, still in progress. There are the usual year-end wrap-up stories, especially from the markets worldwide. This headline seems to summarize a lot of them. 2018 was the worst year for stocks since a decade earlier, 2008, and you probably remember what was happening then. Here's a summary from early Wednesday morning, a few hours after the markets open, thanks to Zero Hedge. Global market bloodbath returns as futures tumble, and Asia has suffered the worst start to the year since 2016. Any hope it begins for a reversal of last year's ominous market trends and a positive start to the new year were quickly dashed overnight when what was originally a gain of as much as 0.6% in the S&P futures early on was promptly extinguished as futures slumped deep into the red alongside a sea of red in global stocks. After the Caijing China PMI manufacturing survey fell into contraction territory for the first time since May of 2017, and Asian stocks were sent tumbling to their worst start to the year since 2016, while similarly poor PMI reports out of Europe only confirmed the global economy is slowing. And the negative manufacturing news continued when the U.S. manufacturing PMI was released, and it too has plunged to 15-month lows. Following that weakness in the Chinese and Eurozone PMIs, the final print for December, says Zero Hedge, also disappointed, dropping to 53.8, below the original flash print, to the slowest point now since September of 2017. Business confidence, too, tumbled to its lowest since October of 2016, while new orders also hit a 15-month low. Same thing for job creation. And when it was all said and done, 2018 thus marked the first time that Citigroup's Global Economic Surprise Index finished a year below zero since 2008, and China's disappointing PMI could help drag it even lower to start the new year. The consistency, though, with which the global data is trailing estimates makes the consensus forecast for U.S. GDP in 2019 that haven't really budged from their highs of 2.6% increasingly suspect. Couple of decent reviews next about where things begin the new year market-wise. World-renowned, as some put it, commodity guru Dennis Gartman has published his first Gartman letter note for 2019. And not only, says Zero Hedge's summary, is he more bearish than at any time during the last year, he's also angry. Very angry, as a matter of fact, and specifically at what he calls the stupidity of the television business channels, which have all touted the fact that the market's rally last week came just as stocks on the S&P 500 were about to hit the minus 20% point, and thus had, quote, not yet entered bear market territory, as he puts it. Come on, give me a break. What sort of nonsense was and is all of that? In fact, he says, stocks have begun the year on a horrible note, as Asian shares, and particularly Chinese shares, have fallen sharply on that Chinese PMI news we've already talked about, meaning that the economy in China is already in recession, and it's thus dragging the Australian and New Zealand markets lower as well. When you combine that with the rest of the world, he says all of this is terribly dismaying for the first day of the year, and the first day of most months, notably, see large inflows of money into the U.S. markets for things like pension fund and 401k fund purchases, with the stock index futures rising in anticipation of those inflows. But not so this year. It's, of course, too early to talk about changes year-to-date, but if you mark prices from their highs in late January, last year, stocks in global terms, as measured by their index, he says, are down by a full 16.2%. And Gartman notes that they've been referring to a minus 7% from the interim high as the Maginot line for quite some time, separating a mere correction from a genuine bear market. So we're well into that. All the TV coverage, he says, of what's been going on is nonsense, utter and complete nonsense. And finally, the news regarding President Xi and Trump should have been sufficient to keep the bounce in the markets in place for at least a bit longer. The problem was and is that news should have sent the markets on Monday soaring higher, maybe 500 to 700 points on the Dow, but it did not. The best that happened was that the Dow traded up 250 points or so, and what was lacking means today's weakness makes that lacking even worse. No, 2019, he says, is not off to a good start. But the Economic Collapse blog's Michael Snyder goes even a couple of steps further, saying 2019, it's going to be much worse than you think. Because all the elements are in place, and he and we have been talking about them for a long time now, for a perfect storm. He begins by quoting comedian Dave Barry, who made this point in his most recent article. We can summarize 2018 in just two words. It boofed. No, we're not quite sure what boofing is, despite the fact that it was discussed in a hearing of the vaunted United States Senate Judiciary Committee. All we know for sure about boofing is that it's distasteful and stupid, as was 2018. But when you look at what's on the horizon, for example, starting with Axios, says Snyder, Donald Trump is currently the subject of 17 different investigations. Yeah, you read that correctly, and no, we haven't seen anything even remotely like this in American history. Even during the Nixon era, where there actually was some smoke, as well as some fire, there was also some measure of restraint. But at this point, it's pretty clear that the waste stream media and their puppets, or is it the other way around, in the deep state, are trying to come up with any angle they possibly can to get rid of Donald Trump by any means necessary. And the left truly thinks that's going to happen. The Hill just published an article containing 30 predictions for 2019, and the top three included Donald Trump's presidency will not survive the year. The downward trajectory, number two, of every aspect of his tenure indicates we're headed for a spectacular political crash and burn, and fairly soon, and some of us suggest even if they have to light the fire and shoot him on the way down. And number three, his increasingly erratic and angry behavior, his self-imposed isolation. Hey, if everybody's trying to kill you, wouldn't you want to do some of that? His inability, they write, and refusal to listen to smart advisors. You know, all those Obama-era holdovers and deep state crocodiles he's got on board are all leading him to a precipice. Well, folks, with advisors like this, from his Goldman Sachs gurus to the neocon warmongers, I guess you can fill in the rest. Why am I remembering a line from an old Shakespeare play? Et tu, Brute? Concludes Snyder, any way you slice it, this is getting ugly, and we're rapidly getting to the point where America is and will be ungovernable, with lots and lots of anger, strife, discord, and resentment. And, of course, he, too, notes that the stock market has begun the year starting to plunge in a major way, the worst December since the Great Depression. And the really bad news is that things are likely to get even worse in 2019, because the can that was being kicked down the road for so long is obviously reached the cliff, and the Fed is anxious to push the president over. And since the president seems to have been willing to step up and take the blame for it, it doesn't look good on any front. There's interesting New Year's news on the Twitter and Facebook et al. Censorship fronts, too. This one's just kind of representative. A Muslim doctor, sick, named Lara Kolab at the Cleveland Clinic, has been on a continuing anti-Jewish Twitter rant for years. They didn't seem to notice. That too speaks volumes. Most recently, though, she's been caught tweeting that, quote, I purposely give Jews the wrong medications. No, she calls them something else. But now that word finally has gotten around, CBS Channel 19 affiliate in Cleveland has reported that Kolab has finally been canned by the clinic. No word yet, though, on whether she's still allowed to, practice medicine. Here's another story that came out over the weekend that your host kind of expects isn't going to get all that much coverage either, certainly not what it deserves. This comes from Lance Johnson at Natural News, and it says AT&T intends to deliberately hoax its own customers by falsely labeling new 4G phones with the 5G icon. Of course, if you already know what they're trying to do, you don't want to buy it anyway. It's not the first time the company's tried this scam. The company, the story says, showed a 4G logo on Apple iPhones long before 4G was officially rolled out, and they too used earlier technologies that incorporated speed boosting. They're doing the same thing here, but it may be that there's a lot more to it this time. The new phones, too, to be rolled out in 2019, will have speed-boosting technologies, but the upgrades do not qualify as 5G, nor will the phones be connected to a 5G millimeter wavelength network. So he says the new 5G, they do put a small E after it, is practically a hoax. But the key seems to be AT&T is all about deceiving customers into thinking they're connecting to a 5G network months before everyone else. And the real problem has to do with the health impacts of 5G, which are virtually universally being swept under the rug by the purveyors. T-Mobile CTO Neville Ray called out AT&T in a recent blog post, saying they're duping customers into thinking they're getting something they're not. More importantly, folks, your host suggests they're not getting something yet that these companies intend they eventually will. And that's the 5G sickness. I would call it the 5G flu, but this kind of nausea is probably going to be a lot worse than anything a mosquito might carry. Says Johnson, this deception is important because it allows the industry a chance to undermine, to soft-pedal the health risks of the coming 5G technology. Because if the technology is supposedly already in use, and hey, we haven't noticed any problems yet, then the industry can advance the new 5G technology as safe before the towers and the billions and billions of dollars of infrastructure investment are complete and the true safety impacts become obvious. Natural News' Lance Johnson notes that there have been some real-world tests, though. California firefighters who were forced to work close to newly installed 5G equipment quickly began to report confusion and memory problems, which went away once they were relocated. With longer exposures, of course, it might be a different story. And that brings me to the thing that your host has warned about for quite some time, folks. I think there's clear evidence, including their use in weaponry, that millimeter wavelengths are a genuine hazard, and that deployment on the scale that's intended here is nothing short of, well, open warfare on the populace that'll be exposed to these things long before they're told the truth about the potential, or dare I say, likely health impacts. And after all, it's not like they haven't been lied to before about everything from mercury and thimerosal in vaccines to aspartame and genetically modified frankenfoods. So when it comes to your host's comment on this latest attempt by the cell phone industry to deceive their customers, I think an analogy is most appropriate. It's a bit like a soft drink company coming out with a new product and labeling it mercury, intending to condition people or soften them up for when they put in the real poison a few months later. All of which inclines your host to reprise some warnings that I've been issuing for quite a while now, but as we enter the new year and the threat from the globalist puppet masters is we're going to poison you with this stuff whether you like it or not, and especially whether you know it or not, I think they're increasingly vital for people to understand. And whatever happens, folks, do not, I repeat, do not let this stuff anywhere close to where you shop or eat or, for crying out loud, actually hope to sleep and live. And yeah, we already know, Big Brother and its public-private telecom partners intend to make that as close to impossible as they can. So here we go. The following is a recap of what's been admitted so far. Even the IEEE site, which is the Institute for Electrical and Electronic Engineers.org, tends to emphasize the technical aspects associated with the rollout of 5G. Hey, it's coming whether we like it or not, is the bottom line. They do talk a lot, though, about policy, standards, and applications, and say almost nothing about the health impacts. And that blind spot is even more obvious in some of the less technical publications. Here's a piece from CNET entitled, "The 5G Revolution is Coming. Here's Everything You Need to Know," except for those things that they don't want you to know, which are conspicuously absent. Separating hype from the reality, it says, of the next generation of wireless technology. It's just around the corner. It's going to change our lives forever. Yeah, and you don't know the half of it, and they're not going to tell you. Ever since Verizon, it began, said it would be the first major telecom company to deploy 5G field tests 3 years ago, the hype for the technology has been building, and that's putting it mildly. It's being referred to as a foundational tech that will supercharge areas like self-driving cars. Gee, I bet we can hardly wait for that, can we? Streaming, virtual and augmented reality, and telemedicine like remote surgery, and of course, tracking you wherever you go via the Internet of Things, which they don't mention, but they'll get around to it. But what exactly is 5G and why it says are people so excited? Well, here's a breakdown of everything you need to know, and it's more than just about higher speeds. Yes, it's the fifth generation of cell technology, which promises to greatly enhance the speed, coverage, and responsiveness of wireless networks. How fast are we talking about? Well, 10 to 100 times speedier than your typical cell connection. But it's not just about speed, they say. It's about latency, too. You'll hear this mentioned a lot. It'll mean things like you'll get faster responses when you query Google about what you're allowed to know. And this is really important for video games, it notes. How does it work? Now, here we're getting to the nut cutting, folks. It's about what's called super high frequency spectrum, which has shorter range but higher capacity to deliver a massive pipe for online access.
And since, in general, faster speeds require higher frequencies to carry them, we're talking about these millimeter wavelengths, well above the just below 1 to about 6 gigahertz currently in use. As a matter of fact, says the story, in order to get these crazy high 5G speeds, you need really, really super high frequency spectrum. The millimeter wavelength range falls between 24 gigahertz and 100 gigahertz. That's between 10 to 50 times higher in frequency and therefore shorter in wavelength than anything currently in widespread use. The problem, though, is that these shorter wavelengths are readily blocked by just about anything that gets in the way, from walls to your skin. So the problem with the super high frequency spectrum, they tell you, besides the unknown health effects that they don't mention, and here I'll quote, is that it's pretty finicky. A leaf blows the wrong way and you get interference. Forget about obstacles like walls. Companies like Verizon, it says, are working on using software and broadcasting tricks, unquote, like focused antennas, they tell you in their glossary, it's called beam forming, among other things, to get around these problems and ensure stable connections. And of course, as we've already talked about, folks, the other solution to this so-called problem is they're going to put lots and lots and lots and lots of transmitters literally everywhere and saturate literally everything. I guess you could say it's everywhere you probably won't end up wanting to be. Now, the next category I thought was kind of funny, if you think about it. Are there other benefits, it says? Now, note, folks, there is no heading in this thing that says, are there any problems we need to be concerned about? But when it comes to benefits, yes! The 5G network is designed to connect to a far greater number of devices than traditional cellular networks. The IoT, or Internet of Things, you keep hearing about, will mean that 5G can help power multiple devices around you. As a matter of fact, on you, from your shoes and socks to your underwear. And other things, too, they note, like whether it's a dog collar or a refrigerator. Meanwhile, your TV, computer, phone, and toaster oven, as you probably already know, are also pretty much already listening to you. But this will be a lot more devices, and that's better, right? Listening to you all the time. Sounds great, they say, especially if they don't tell you that there's a problem. But when does 5G get here? Well, real soon now. Verizon's going to launch the first 5G services in the world starting this month, October. But that's a bit of a technicality. It's going to take more time to get all those super high-frequency transceivers in place. And even though they don't want to talk about it, there actually still is some resistance to that. And the question, of course, folks, is there are some 5G technologies that really aren't quite as deadly as the super high-frequency stuff they're planning on implementing because they overlap some of the older existing frequencies, which arguably aren't nearly as hazardous. So part of what's going on here is to kind of hide and merge the transition. There are some good technical reasons for that, as well as a whole lot of really good political ones. I'm going to skip over some of the rest of this. Can I get 5G with my existing smartphone? No, you can't. How soon will it be in my neighborhood and permeating my walls and irradiating my body? Well, don't worry. Sprint's going to launch it in 6 cities. T-Mobile's launching in 30 cities next year. But don't feel you need to rush out and buy the first 5G smartphone, it says. Chances are service won't be widely available until 2020 or beyond. But still, they're working hard to do it sooner before people figure out things like your host and many others are trying to tell them. And since that obviously wasn't, even remotely, all you really need to know about 5G, let's go to some other articles that might provide some real information about the real dangers. Certainly one of the more commonly quoted is a letter from Dr. Yael Stein of Jerusalem's Hebrew University to the FCC about 5G, outlining some of the adverse effects of millimeter wavelength radiation on human skin. And it goes hand in hand with some of the obvious military applications. Over 90% of microwave radiation is absorbed, he noted, by the epidermis and dermis layers, so human skin basically acts like an absorbing sponge for microwave radiation. And while that may be disquieting, it's not so much of a problem for the longer wavelengths, as long as the wavelengths are greater than the skin's dimension. But when you get to millimeter wavelengths, as will be the case for 5G radiation in the 10 to 100 gigahertz range, that's no longer true. And furthermore, the sweat ducts in the skin's upper layer act like little helical antennas. And given that we've got millions of those, which can flare up in recognition of damaging stimuli, at least the pain applications have been obvious. The U.S. Department of Defense uses such a crowd dispersal method called active denial systems, where millimeter wavelengths are directed at crowds to make their skin feel like it's literally on fire. with the obvious effects on people wanting to get the hell out of there. Trouble is, at lower power levels, but certainly longer duration exposure, the longer-term effects are largely still TBD. That is, if the guinea pigs are silly enough to allow it. An article by Dr. Cindy Russell in the Santa Clara County Medical Association Bulletin from early 2017 outlines other earlier research on the medical effects of millimeter waves. For example, a 1981 NASA report entitled Electromagnetic Field Interactions, Observed Effects and Theories, described microwave sicknesses. Symptoms included headaches, eye strain, fatigue, dizziness, disturbed sleep at night, sleeplessness in the daytime, moodiness, irritability, unsociability, and other mood reactions including hypochondria, feelings of fear, nervous tension, mental depression, memory impairment, as well as things like a pulling sensation in the scalp and brow, hair loss, muscle pain, breathing difficulties, and of course, think of the military applications here, increased perspiration. Which does kind of make sense, doesn't it? If higher levels of irradiation cause people to feel like their epidermis is on fire. Some of the reported effects, like melatonin reduction leading to insomnia, and of course increased cancer risk, have already been reported at current 3G and 4G wavelengths in the microwave band, between 700 MHz and about 6 GHz. The same thing is true for people that are reporting what's now called EMF sensitivity. But there are other, perhaps even more disturbing effects as well, including disturbed DNA protein interactions at various frequencies between 40 and 50 gigahertz. As an electronic engineer, your host is tempted to say, we could be looking at some very frequency-dependent resonance effects, perhaps at a cellular level, which has all kinds of pretty nasty ramifications, from effects on the human immune system to genetic modifications, and that's obvious concerns for children and pregnancies and so forth, to arrhythmias, to cataracts in the eye. Leading a researcher named Pacamau to say, almost 20 years ago, that regardless of the primary mechanism, the possibility of significant bioeffects of short-term millimeter wavelength irradiation at intensities at or below current safety standards deserves consideration and further study. And just for good measure, here's a list of some of the other things that studies have suggested might be associated with even low levels of millimeter wavelength radiation. Oxidative damage and DNA single and double strand breaks, all of which might lead to cancer and premature aging, increased blood-brain barrier permeability, disruption of brain glucose metabolism, and generation of stress proteins, leading to a number of other diseases. And it's good to remember the health impacts aren't limited to humans. Obviously, animals can suffer as well, and even plants also absorb millimeter wavelength radiation and may suffer similarly. Finally, there's this caution from Dr. Joel Moskowitz at the University of California, Berkeley, who points out that most of the 5G studies perhaps are even misleading, since 5G will use pulsed millimeter waves to carry information, and most of the studies which have been done don't even include those effects. But he says what research has been conducted on microwaves already tells us that pulses produce more profound biological effects on our bodies compared to non-pulsed waves. Bottom line, the health effects are at the very best unknown, unless you count military applications, which pretty well suggest what I'm going to suggest, or the health effects are really, really nasty, and the only way we're going to be told is to suffer them. Here, folks, I'm going to paraphrase the book of Joshua, chapter 24, verse 15. As for me and my house, right? Well, I'll tell you this. Having looked at all of this and having some understanding about RF and really, really high frequencies and the effects. Do I know all of it? No, probably the military does because, as I've said, they've been deploying these things for weaponry. But there's a really obvious reason why we're going to be told the health impact studies haven't been done and won't be, at least as far as peons out in the public are going to be concerned. They don't want you to know. There are literally trillions of dollars at stake here. And, of course, if a few billion people end up dying, that's part of the big overall plan for the long term anyway. So, ultimately, who cares? I will say this, though, as I started to. As for me and my house, the answer to the question about putting one of these 5G weapons anywhere close to my house or on my property, well, the answer, as my dad used to say, is not just no, it's hell no. And as an electronic engineer, folks, my informed opinion to everybody who's been listening to this would be to give the same answer to allowing 5G to be deployed anywhere close to where you might want to be. So between deadly docks and practically government-approved genocide, a good message for the new year is to watch out for your own health. And may Yahuwah bless you and yours.